Fantastic. That's celebrating one hit wonder day internationally. My Sharona, I knew we'd get this. Chris from Mildura. They were not one hit wonders, Matt. The Knack followed up with a brilliant O Tara, and then That's What Little Girls Do. Yeah, you hear that a lot on Saturday Night Jukebox. Now, the song was written about 17-year-old Sharona Alperin, now a real estate agent in California who uses the domain name mysharona.com and was at the time the Knack lead singer Doug Feger's girlfriend. He later claimed My Sharona was written in 15 minutes.
That is a good song.
Someone said it's a very dirty song, Matt. Well, I think you've got a very dirty mind if you think that. It's 12 to 7. Mark Levine, his constitutional attorney, who formerly worked for the US Congress. He now has a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show. And I understand that they are devoting the entire show this week to One Hit Wonders.
I had no idea Australia was still living 30 years in the past. You know, that song's no longer played much anymore.
Oh, come on. Are you
kidding
me?
Did you not play that? Hey, Mark, the song we played before that was Nina Simone.
Yeah, yeah.
My Baby Just Cares For Me. So we're cutting edge.
Clearly cutting edge.
Mark Levine, don't you have Casey Kasem's Top 40 anymore?
Is Casey Kasem still alive?
I don't know. I think he lives on somewhere in Radio Land.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. Now, onto more substantial matters.
Yes.
Mark, has President Obama worked out what to do with Syria yet?
Oh no, no, he hadn't worked it out for several years, and he certainly doesn't know what to do now. He's torn. I mean, this is a guy who pulled us out of Iraq, pulled us out of Afghanistan, thought he was safe by saying, okay, Syria, you can kill as many people as you want, just don't kill them with chemical weapons, kill them with conventional bombs. And he thought the dictator would do that, and then he could save face, he stopped chemical weapons, and he really wouldn't stop the civil war, get America involved. And lo and behold, Assad crossed that red line, and Obama was like, ooh, wow, maybe he really is a bad guy. Now, since he's sort of hoist on his own petard, and he said that chemical weapons is the issue, not mass murder, and now that Russia says they're going to get Syria to get rid of the chemical weapons, he's got to go along and give them a shot. So I guess we'll see whether they get rid of their chemical weapons or not.
Has Vladimir Putin sort of seriously outmaneuvered Obama on this?
You know, Russia's got its own difficulties on this one, too. I mean, Russia has been, and Assad have been denying for God knows how long that he even had any chemical weapons, and now he admits he has them and is going to get rid of them. So it's going to be interesting to hear how Putin explains the fact that apparently rebels use them, which is ridiculous, but I guess it's their claim, except that Assad's going to get rid of them. Look, Obama looks bad, I think, because the policy was so muddled to begin with, and I think Putin exploited that hole in that policy, but I don't think Russia looks very good in this either.
Okay, so while the United States works out whether it does want to be the world's policeman, back at home on the domestic front, it's continuing to debate gun control, whether or not individual citizens should be their own policeman.
Yeah, and that occurred just a few miles from where I live. It's embarrassing, it's heartbreaking, it's tragic, and the worst part is it's self-inflicted. I mean, many Americans, actually the majority of Americans, Europeans may be surprised to know, Australians may be surprised to know, support some form of gun control, but the minority that loves their guns really loves their guns and pays a lot of politicians to love their guns, and I don't know how we can achieve anything. I mean, even something as simple as background checks saying if you're crazy, you shouldn't be able to own a gun, that passed in Colorado, and then gun advocates managed to do a recall election for two state legislators in Colorado. Yeah. It's not a winning political issue, even though the majority of Americans support it, because those that want it, that want their guns and want crazy people to own guns, they spend all their time thinking about that, and the rest of us think about other things as well. It's a problem.
It is a problem. One of the things that interests me is these guns are meant to protect you against the bad people. That's the argument.
I guess.
And yet in all these mass murders, the people getting shot never shoot the person who shot them, if you know what I mean, before he shoots them.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you something else. The Navy Yard should be a perfect example of where people with guns stop a bad guy with a gun, right? Bad guy with gun comes in.
Yes.
He comes into a military base. I mean, it's okay. It's a civilian military center, but it's got a lot of controls and protections. And there are lots of people there who know how to shoot guns. And interestingly, they didn't manage to get this guy. No disrespect to them. They're getting shot at. But it was the good old D.C. police, the good old local police force, that had to come in and stop it. So all that prevalence of guns in the Naval Yard didn't stop the bad guy with a gun. It took ordinary police, and what I've long argued is that we should trust the police and not depend on ordinary people to play vigilante.
No,
but my argument's not winning the day.
But no. In fact, this time round, is it so obvious that there is a fatigue attached to this debate that nothing is going to happen?
I am afraid so. I mean, after Newton, Connecticut, when, you know, a lot of little children, 5 and 6 year olds, were massacred, and that was seen as those of us who support some form of gun control as our best shot. And President Obama tried very hard. My party, the Democratic Party, tried very hard, and that didn't get through. And I guess the thought is, well, if people don't have any sympathy for 12 massacred children, I guess they won't have any sympathy for 12 massacred government workers. Because a lot of people hate government workers, I guess. I don't know. It's truly, and it's sad. It really is sad. And I got to say, give a lot of respect to you in Australia because you did that. You're, of course, Prime Minister, and we do know about that, some of us in America, about the dramatic gun buyback program. Congratulations to you folks. You're way ahead of us on this.
And it was under the Howard government, John Howard, then Prime Minister. Mark Levine, thanks so much for having you on to us.
My pleasure.
And we can send you a copy of My Sharona anytime.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Check out, the website's great, Mark Levine Talk. So it's L-E-V-I-N-E is how it's spelt, marklevinetalk1word.com. Interesting guy, Mark Levine. Matthew Abraham and David Bevan with you. It's 5 minutes to 7.